exciting and new. Come aboard, we're expecting you. Captain Steubing and I are longtime friends. I'm just kidding. Hey, it's great to be with you today as we start a voyage on relationships, something that affects every person in this room. If you're married here today, it's going to sound like kind of a, what can I do to have a greater marriage type of talk. If you're single here today, every truth that is shared from God's Word applies on this issue of relationships. So today is just a super day for us to take a look at what God's Word has to say about relationships. To all of our television audience as well as internet audience, hey, welcome to you guys. Just a shout out. Good to see you guys today. So thanks for joining us here at the chapel. Hey, let me ask you a question. Have you ever had an experience like the one I'm about to share? You've worked hard. As a lady, you've worked hard during the course of the week. Weekend's coming. You've known your man, that guy you're dating, that husband, whoever it is. You know they're coming home and you're going out on that big date on a Friday night. If you have children, maybe you got a babysitter coming in and you know Friday night's coming. You've looked forward to it all week long. And when your man walks in, he says something that every lady likes to hear. My wife was in the first service. She's an amazing cook, fabulous cook. And yet she loves to hear those three wonderful, wonderful words. Let's eat out. Yeah, and you say those words and she is like, yes, we're going out to eat today. Maybe it's on a Sunday afternoon and instead of her going home and cooking, you say, let's just eat out today. And a few weeks ago, I went home and surprised my wife and said, hey, babe, let's eat out. Had set up a babysitter. We were going out for dinner. She was excited. And I said something like, this is going to be your special night out. We're going to have a blast. Let's just go enjoy the evening. Just you and I, let's eat out. And she said, I love it. She got dolled up. We went out. It was great. We pulled out of our neighborhood. And coming out of our neighborhood, we had to make a decision. Do we go right towards the boulevard area? Or do we go left down transit? And we pulled up and it was kind of like, which way do you think we should go? And she said, oh, you choose wherever you want to go. I said, okay, well, we'll go left. So we took a left and we came out to transit. And then we took a right on transit. And we began on Restaurant Row. And it was just going to be an amazing Friday evening, just she and I. But it was her special night out. She gets to choose the restaurant, all that good stuff. And so I said, hey, babe, where would you like to eat tonight? And she said, wherever you want to go. I said, cool. All right. How about let's go to Atlanta Bread Company? She's, I don't know. Maybe not Atlanta Bread Company. Whatever you think, whatever, I like it all, it's good. It's not Atlanta Bread coming. Okay, so we're cruising down transit, and we come up, and we love Japanese food. I said, how about Shogun? Let's go all out tonight. Let's do Shogun tonight. It's a little pricey. I don't know that we should spend that kind of money. I mean, we're paying the babysit. Okay. How about we do Chili's? Oh, you know, we just had Chili's the other day. The last time we went, we ate at Chili's. Well, babe, where do you want to go and eat? Really, wherever. I'm good with anything. Have you ever experienced that? And you know where we landed? Yeah, we landed just past all of that stuff at the coolest. The ambiance was unbelievable. The fire was roaring. It was Cracker Barrel. The date place of all date places. And we love Cracker Barrel because we could get sweet tea there. And so we're hanging out. We just had a super night. But have you ever had that kind of an experience where you said, let's go out to eat. She says, yeah, that's great. And you say, wherever you want to go. I just want to go wherever you want. And it's tough to decide. You know why? Because women and men are so different, aren't they? I mean, we are just so different. Maybe you've had an experience at a Sabres game. And you said, you know, babe, I'm going to take you to a Sabres game. And the two of you go down to Sabres game, and you're in section 5E, and there you are, and you got your seats, and everything is going along fabulous. The game is cruising, and the Sabres are in a power play, and Briere's on a breakaway, and you are into the game, and she taps you on the shoulder. Hey, I got to go to the restroom. And you're okay, and you're trying to see the game, and the lady next to her that she doesn't even know, she asked her to go with her. And you're just so into the game. You're totally into the breakaway, and you want to see the Sabres win. And a couple of ladies in the rows behind her are like, hey, are y'all going to the restroom? And she is, yeah, y'all want to join us. And pretty soon, Section E has emptied out of all the ladies because everybody's in the restroom and all the guys are enjoying the game because men and women, we're just so different. Can you imagine being in service today and the end of the service, leaning over to the guy next to you and going, hey, I'm going to go to the restroom, bro. You want to join me? I mean, you might just get knocked one right in the face. But for women, it's just okay. I mean, it's just, that's how different we are. And you know, this morning at the Miller home, if you know anything about the Millers, we love to have breakfast together. It's just like our thing. Darlene, again, amazing cook. So she fixes a hot breakfast. Yeah, man, ladies, she does. She fixes a great breakfast every morning. Love it. And this morning, we got up this morning. And I said, Darlene, I have a new illustration for the message this morning. She's like, oh, yeah, what is it? And I told her about it. We're all rolling, laughing. I'm telling my girls about it. And so this morning, I came up with this idea to tell you about my day yesterday. Because it relates completely to what we're talking about. Men and women are so different. Yesterday, many of you, maybe your tradition at the Easter season is to get a new outfit. You know, I grew up in a family. My dad was a minister, and each Easter I got like a new suit, or you know, I got some shirt and tie type of deal, or my mom got a new dress, my sister got a new dress. That was like the Easter tradition. Everybody wore their new suit, their new dress, their new hat, all that stuff on Easter. And I sat right back in this area and had a bunch of friends here last Sunday for Easter and just loved and basked in what God was doing and watching people give their lives to Christ and watching a couple walk down. Remember that yesterday? A whole new marriage. And I knew what we were talking about today. And I'm back there just, man, I'm ready to give it up. I'm just so excited. I loved it. Maybe your day went kind of like mine did yesterday. Maybe you've had this experience. We've kind of got all the things we want to get done through the course of the day. And I said, hey, let's all just kind of get cleaned up tonight. Let's go down to the store. There's a new store that just opened down from our house. Dad wants to buy all the girls in the house a new outfit. And so I've got two daughters in my home and my wife. And this was Dad's big opportunity to go bless my three girls and get an outfit. And my son, you know, he's 80. He's like, oh, Dad, do we really have to? I'm like, son, no, really, we'll have a great time. Dad, we'll be silly and funny. We'll make all kinds of crazy stuff up while we're going. And we'll have a good time, and the girls can shop. And so we get in the car, and we pull out once again to the front of the neighborhood. And the store that I want to go to is to the left, and you come to transit, and you take a right, and it's right there. I mean, 3 minutes from my house, brand new. I haven't even been in the place yet. We pull up to the neighborhood, And somebody in the car says, you know, if we go down to the mall, there's a lot more stores down there. We could go down to the mall and shop down there. I said, hey, very cool. I like the mall. We haven't been down to the Galleria in a little while. So we went down to the Galleria, saw some of you there yesterday walking around. Got to say hi to some of you. And we walked into the mall around 3 o'clock yesterday down at Galleria. And we're cruising through. But we're on a mission. And you know what our mission was. We're getting the three girls an outfit. That might be a dress. It might be some pants. We're just getting the three girls an outfit yesterday, 3 o'clock. And we entered in one end of the mall. We began on the bottom floor. And we began at every single store that sells women's girls' clothing. And we tried on many outfits. Not we, but they tried on many outfits. David and I are just enjoying the scenery, trying to have some fun. I'm trying to goof around and be silly with him and trying to get through. So, but he's learning the experience of going shopping with the girls. And so here we are at the mall, and we have shopped a very long time. We have tried on dozens and dozens of outfits, and we have nothing yet. And we are cruising through the mall, and an hour has gone by. 2 hours have gone by. 3 hours have gone by. And we make a decision. We're done with the mall. And we walked out of the mall yesterday. What we had intended to get, three outfits for the girls. We walked out to our car with one package. This is it. This is a candle for my office. This is not even supposed to be a part of the game plan yesterday. Never did we discuss getting me a candle for my office. It was, we're going to get three outfits for the girls, and we walked out with this. Have you ever experienced that, guys? Don't say it too loud. And guess where we went from that experience? Back to the store that I originally recommended, that was 3 minutes from my home. And while we were there for another 2 to 2.5 hours trying on outfits for that right one, right price, little man and I made a decision. He's been so good. David, the girls are all in the dressing room. They'll never know we're gone. We haven't shopped for him anything. I got him an Orange Julius, and that was it. And so we went over to his section. I saw this really cool black shirt on the rack. I picked it up and I said, "What do you think, son?" He goes, "Man, Dad, that's cool." "Great, let's get it." We threw it in the buggy and we walked right back and we stood and waited for the girls. We were done shopping. It took us about 4 minutes to go from the dressing room to the rack, get the shirt, put it in, be back while the girls are still trying on clothes. Ladies, y'all are so different than us. It's just not that difficult. Pick the outfit out, put it in a... But it is. That's because we're so different, aren't we? I mean, when it comes to this whole thing of guys and girls, we are so different. Maybe you've had an experience like that. Today, we're going to let that sit right there for you to remember. That was my experience yesterday. I love my girls. They're awesome. They're wonderful. They do have an outfit. We landed it around 10:15 last night. It took us 6 hours and 15 minutes for the one outfit, 4 minutes for little D-man. But we walked out with a win. We had outfits. And you may go, you know, "Oh, come on, Pastor Dave. Yeah, we've experienced that. What's that got to do with relationships?" It has everything to do with relationships, because guys and girls were just so different. So today, if we could just pick some things out of God's Word that say, how do we identify these issues, allow them to penetrate our hearts so that we could navigate through living life with women in an effective manner, wouldn't that be valuable to all the guys today? It would be. And so today we're going to start on this issue of relationships. If you've got your Bible, open up to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And ladies, let me let you know right here, I'm going to go right into talking to the guys for a minute. 1 Peter 3 is a great passage just for the men in the house today. It is a passage that will connect with every guy in the room. Because when it comes to relationship, which everybody in this room is going to invest energy, emotion, time, hours of walking through a mall, you're going to invest everything into relationship, including a relationship with your Heavenly Father. Wouldn't it be wise of us to grab some knowledge from the one that created us? It's a mammoth task that we're talking about. There are incredible differences between the men and the women. But here in 1 Peter chapter 3, we've got a fisherman that spent 3 years with Jesus, listening, learning, applying, what God had for him on this issue of relationships. And Peter is going to invest, and we're just going to look at this one verse, but he's going to invest into you and I one great principle truth that you and I can walk out with to make a difference just for the men today. Now, we're going to talk women too, but just for you guys today that you can walk out with and go, you know what, that's really good. I can take that one thing, I can apply it in order to be even better in the relationships that God's allowing me to impact and influence. Listen to what 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 said. And by the way, I don't know the translation you're looking at. The one we're going to put on the screen for you is New American Standard today. So you look at your translation, but this is a New American Standard translation. Here it is. Husbands, you husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way. As with someone weaker, since she's a woman. Now, this is not about her intellect is weaker, her emotion is weaker. It's a physical reference here. She has been designed uniquely by God. She is a fragile person. She is not physically as strong as the guys. Now, you may find, you know, there's some that are, you know, they've worked out and they've got more body strength. However, the principle here is what we want to grab a hold of. It says, you husbands, by the way, this is not just for the guy that's married and the lady that's married. This is a relational principle that transcends, but it's specific to the marriage. So if you are married here today, this is very targeted at you and I. I've been married 17 years, loving it, having a blast, can't get enough of it, love my wife, have three precious children, and yet I want to be an even better husband. I want to be even a better father. I want to be better relationally. Here it is. Husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way. As with someone weaker, since she's a woman. First of all, in an understanding way, can we just kind of carve that out of the text for a minute? This is talking about living with insight and with skill. This is about living life as a husband, guys. Living life with insight and skill because she is different. That lady sitting next to you or the lady serving that's your wife or maybe she's not here today or guys in a relationship, I'm telling you, she is different than you and I. And in the midst of navigating through relationships, specifically to marriage, we must grab some insight and some skill in order to be effective as a husband. If I were to go to a foreign country, I've been on a number of occasions, Pastor Jerry mentioned he's probably in Paraguay today. Was in Bolivia earlier this week. I've been there many times. Love it down there. Love the missionaries there. Some folks are serving there from a former ministry I served in. Just incredible people. Pastor Jerry is going to be an incredible blessing to them. But one thing that you know if you've ever been to a foreign country is when you step off the plane, particularly if they speak a different language than you do, and you don't know the language well, if you want to have some kind of language barrier dropped, you need to get a little bit of the language underneath your belt. For example, in Bolivia, they speak Spanish where he went. Pastor Jerry speaks a little bit of Spanish, speaks it very well. I speak just a little bit, and I understand a few key words for me so that I can navigate through when I see the missionaries, things like, all I'd say is, helados. That's where's the ice cream. I need to know, where is the ice cream? That's important to me. Or, baños. Where's the bathroom? There are key words that I want to make sure I know how to say so that when I'm in that environment, I can have some communication with them. But oftentimes in our homes, and today specifically, you may leave the chapel, this environment, this place called the auditorium where we gather together corporately to worship God, the chapel. And you might walk into your home today and it's like walking into a foreigner. And you're looking across from this person like, who are you? And maybe you've been married a long time. Maybe it's been a short time. And you're going, who are you? You and I are not even speaking the same language. See, there's a great principle about the five love languages that we've been given. Things like acts of service. Maybe you're a person here today and you communicate your love to your spouse. You communicate in relationships to somebody through acts of service. By the way, that is my way of communicating. I'm an acts of service person. Now, after the 9 o'clock service, somebody said to me, Pastor Dave, you can't talk about that kind of stuff. Why? I love it. God's just wired me to be an acts of service. I do laundry. I like to clean the dishes after meals. Yeah, I hear you. I like to clean the house and vacuum all that stuff. Now, I'm not saying that I'm better than some other guy here, so all the guys are like, man, we're taking you down after this one. You just ruined it all, man. Now, that's just how I express my love language. I'm an acts of service person. I like to communicate to my wife, to my children, to people in relationships through acts of service. Does that make sense? Now, if my wife doesn't receive through acts of service, she and I are talking two different languages. My wife is a words of affirmation communicator. She needs to hear her husband say, I love you more than one time a week, one time a month. Popping in the DVD from your wedding and saying, babe, I told you back then I love you. It's over. I love you. And that's all I'm going to say about it. And you just cruise through life. Your spouse might be words of affirmation and need to hear, you look beautiful today. I understand my wife is words of affirmation. If all I do is communicate through acts of service and all she does is go, I am words of affirmation. And the two of us, it's like walking into a home of foreigners and we don't have good communication. By the way, with three children, God's wired them. One of them is a physical touch. Dad, scratch my back. Dad, we brush my hair. They are physical touch. That's the way they communicate. They will, after a day at work or hanging out at the house, they like to get in the floor and just wrestle around. Because that's how they communicate, through physical touch. So maybe your communication style is through gifts and you like to give gifts. And that's your way of saying to somebody, hey, I love you. Maybe it's quality time. I have a child in my home. As we walk to them through the five love languages to identify that quality time is critical for them, it identifies for me as a parent, I need to spend quality time. Now, all of us like quality time with the people in our lives we love. But in order to be effective in relationships, we must do what 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 says. We must gain insight, skill. We must understand the person we're living with is a woman. Guys, she's different than us. We need to grab a hold of some insight and skill in order to communicate with her more effectively, in order to have a greater relationship. So maybe it's quality time or acts of service, physical touch, giving and receiving of gifts. What is your love language? How do you communicate? And how does your spouse communicate? So right off the bat in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 7, we know that Peter has said, you want to have a dynamite relationship? Hey, husbands, let me just give you some insight. Get some understanding. They're different. They're a woman. And I praise God for our ladies. You're incredible. I have a great one living in my home that I love dearly. But that's not all the verse says. Did you catch what the rest of this verse says? Look back at verse number 7. Husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way as with someone weaker, since she's a woman, and show her honor. Honor speaks to appreciation and value. Women, guys, love to know that they are valued. The ladies that we develop relationally with, my daughters, my wife, love to know they are valued by me. There are ways that I can communicate that value. After a long day at work, coming home, maybe she's had a long day, walking in and laying in the big green comfy chair, kicking my feet up and my shoes off, grabbing a remote control, may not be the wisest way for me to communicate, I value you. One of the ways that I show my value and my appreciation is through those acts of service. It's my way of communicating love. Guys, we must grab a hold of insight and skill in order to practice, implement, apply what 1 Peter 3:7 says to show that she has value and appreciation. A simple I love you. A simple you look nice. We won't even go into how does this outfit look on me. You've got to work through that stuff. You got to come up with what works for you. But it needs to be good. Because she needs to know you value her. You care about her. I can tell you, Darlene and I were preparing to go to vacation one time. And we, kids were in school, and we decided to go down to the mall. We were living in the Atlanta area, and we're walking through the mall. And I had her hand, we're holding hands, which is one of the ways that says, I value you, and shows her my love. Just a simple hold of the hand. Guys, try it sometime, it works. And that's good stuff. And we're walking through the mall, and I thought for sure this person coming the other direction was somebody I knew. I think as I looked, I thought, I think that's the swimsuit cover model from Sports Illustrated. And I'm going, you got to be kidding me. What's she doing in our mall? And my wife is with me. And I'm, are you kidding me? What's she doing here? I felt my stomach go in a little bit. My chest bowed out. And sometimes, guys, we really think that girl walking in the mall is checking us out, going, yeah, wow, look at that guy. Guys, listen, insight and skill is she doesn't care. You know who cares? This person right here. And the moment my eyes glance and stay, she knows it. She doesn't have to look at my eyes. She can feel it. And let me tell you, guys, here's some insight and some skill to show your value. That's the moment you and I have to make a decision. This is the one God's given us that we love with all of our heart, that we are passionate about, that we pour emotionally and invest everything into. It's not supermodel, Swimsuit Illustrated girl. That's the moment where we turn our attention to our bride or walk into another store, because that will speak of value to her. Not because we want to say, hey, I'm making this big statement, but it is to make a statement to her. It is to say, babe, you are it. You are everything for me. And we are going this direction, because you know what? She already spotted her long before you and I did. She saw her coming. And for me to communicate to my wife, I love you, you are it for me, means we go this direction when she's coming that direction. Now, listen, you can take that illustration and explode it into a lot of areas of your life. Late at night, yeah, I'm just going to stay up and watch Sports Center, honey. And you jump on the internet. There's a lot of arenas we could go right there. Guys, how do you show your wife you value her? You put her into a mode of comparison with that? Not wise. It's not how you build relationally. So let's get insight and skill. Let's grab a hold of what Peter says. How do I show her honor? By being wise. But that's not all the verse said. Listen to what it said. Show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. A fellow heir. What is that? You ever felt like you pick up the Bible and you read something like that and you just kind of blow through it because you go, I don't have a clue what that means? Fellow heir speaks to the equality and the worth of men and women. When God designed it and created us, it was equal. Now, there are functions that God has placed into the men's lives to have a role of leadership with our wives. But in God's eyes, He created us equal. There is equality in front of the Father when it comes to eternal perspective here. And for you and I to recognize that in our ladies, guys, she's not a man. She's a lady. Don't have an expectation that she will live like a guy. She's a lady. Treat her like one. Respect her like one. Revere her like one. Do you see what the end of that verse says? I love this. Guys, why do we gain insight and skill? Why do we show our appreciation and our value to our wives and recognizing that she is a co-equal with us in God's eyes? Why? Listen to what it says at the end of the verse. So that your prayers will not be hindered. Woo! So that your prayers will not be hindered. This thing called relationship with a spouse, relationally, for those of you maybe that aren't married, it goes beyond just with that other person. It speaks of our relationship with our Father. Guys, you want to have the right relationship with the Father, you got to have the right relationship with your spouse. Gaining insight and skill, showing her value, recognizing she is a fellow heir with you. Listen to what the Message translation says. This is how the Message writes this verse. It's another translation. Be good husbands to your wives. Honor them. Delight in them. As women, they lack some of your advantages, but in the new life of God's grace, you're equals. Treat your wives then as equals so that your prayers don't get hindered. Listen, there may be horizontal problems, and if that's the case, then there are vertical problems. You want to have the right relationship here, you got to have the right relationship here. Guys, let's live with good understanding of what God's desiring for us. Let's be the husband God designed and equipped us to be for our wives. Relationally, wouldn't you love to have incredible relationships? As we talk through the next 4 weeks on this topic and this subject matter, wouldn't it be incredible to walk out at the end of 4 weeks going, man, I actually have some tools in my tool belt ready to walk through this thing called life in terms of relationship. And what if we were able to grab a hold of just this one specific regarding marriage? But what about our ladies? What about the women? Flip over a few books to Ephesians. Incredible passage from the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter number 5 that talks specifically to this issue of marriage. You want to have a great marriage? Here we go. The Apostle Paul says an introductory statement in verse number 21. Be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. My goodness. Or submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. What does it mean to submit? By the way, can you just grab a hold that this is for both parties, both the man and the woman? We are to submit to that other person out of reverence for Christ. Submit simply is this. When I lay down my wishes, my dreams, my aspirations, my goals, in order to help somebody else accomplish their dreams and goals and wishes. You go, my goodness, God, how could that be? How could I be engaged in a marital relationship when it's all about me? You say, man, this is, to change that would change fundamentally who we are in our relationship. You see, what happens is when we get married, we walk into marriage with this enormous box of desires. And we say, in this box of desires, here's all the things that I really hope happens when I get married. I hope my spouse will clean the house and I don't have to. I hope my spouse will cook so that I don't have to. I hope that someday we'll live in a big, nice home with a swimming pool. And I hope someday we make enough money that maybe we get a condo in Florida. And I have this desire that someday we'll have this cool little sports car. And we pour into what those desires are relationally. But after we get married, you look back and go, what happened? When those desires shifted to expectations, and now maybe you've got a spouse that says, wait, what happened? I thought we were going to have that really nice big home. I thought we were going to have so much money we could vacation in Florida at our condo that we got. I thought that we would, and our list of desires goes to a list of expectations. And now we're engaged in a relationship, in a marriage that is full of expectation, and there's friction, and the push comes when somebody doesn't meet our expectation. And we get engaged in this relationship called marriage, and pretty soon we find ourselves a year, 3 years, 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, 15 years, 25 years into it going, this is not at all what I thought it would be. And you're here today going, man, now you're on it, Pastor Dave. They're not meeting up to what they said they would do. What we thought would happen in this marital relationship just isn't happening. Did you hear what Ephesians 5:21 said? Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Notice that this is out of reverence for God. It doesn't say submit to one another out of reverence for Darlene. It says submit to one another out of reverence for God. Do you have a reverence for God today? Because when you have a reverence for God, the submission with your spouse. By the way, we love to hammer home this next verse. Wives, submit to your husbands. This says both of us are to submit to one another out of reverence for God. Specifically to the women, though. Look at what verse 22 does say. Wives, be subject or submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. It doesn't say wives submit to them because he is all that, because he is really cool, because he's provided all these things, because he got the bigger house, because he bought you a really nice car. It says that we are to submit to him as unto the Lord. When you become passionate in your relationship, God's expectation is that same passion you have for God, that same reverence you have for him, you are to now pour out on that spouse. Again, when you get into a relationship where your desire goes to expectation, pretty soon that pushback becomes, but they're not living up to. Pastor, they're not doing what they said they would do. And can I just encourage you that we are to live our lives in submission as unto the Lord. And when Jesus Christ came to this planet, strapped on flesh and lived among men, he lived a perfect, sinless life. God himself emptied out heaven through his Son for you and I without a list of expectation. There's no debtor-debt relationship between us and God. It is the debt's been paid, because I love you, I will pour out on you. Wives, you should be pouring out on your husband. I mean, you take the reverence, the awe, the fear that you have for Christ, Ephesians 5:21, and pour it out on him. And what if he doesn't respond, though, Pastor? Doesn't say anything about the response. It says you have a responsibility as the wife to pour out on him. Man, aren't you glad that God poured out on us? He poured out the ability to have eternal life. Something we could not obtain on our own. We could not gather it through good works. We couldn't do enough good things to get it. And he said, because I love you so much, here's what I'll do. I'll let my only son pay the price for you. Whew. I can't imagine, I cannot begin to fathom what it would be like to say, come here, David, my little 8-year-old buddy, in a few years, see all these people and the other millions of people around the planet that could care less about you? I'm going to let them beat you. I'm going to let them murder you so that they have the opportunity to experience the greatest relationship ever, a relationship with your father. I can't even begin to imagine what that must have been like. We talked about it here on Good Friday. Four of the pastors were up here talking about what that must have been like, the suffering, the isolation, and the rejection that took place for you and I. And he says in the context of marriage from Ephesians chapter 5, it's the same relationship. God expects women to pour out on their husbands. But guys, we better get some insight and skill to navigate how to live with the women. They're different than us. And today, God is trying to give us some equipping on how to do that. Look down three verses to verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Whoa. Love your wives like Jesus loved the church. In other words, he was at a point where he not only emptied himself out, but it came to a point there was one more thing he could give, and it was everything. And he said, you know what? I'm not going to hold back anything, because all of eternity depends on it. And I want you to have such an incredible relationship with your father. I will go the distance and I'll pour it all out for you. And he did it at the cross of Calvary. And he said, this is for you so that you can have the dynamite relationship with my father for all of eternity. Here it is. And he laid down his life for you and I. That is the celebration portion. And when it comes to marital relationship, when it comes to relationship, husbands, we are to have that same mindset, that same attitude, that I will go the distance for you, babe. And when I see her coming, she doesn't mean nearly what you mean to me. Let's go this direction. And I will pour out on you. And again, it's not a debt-debtor relationship. It is just as God said, I've paid the debt. The debt has been wiped clean. Now all you need to do is just respond affirmatively. And God says, you want to have a great relationship? You want to have the kind of marriage you desire to have? You want to have the kind of intimacy that when you got married in your desire box and now it's shifted to expectation? You want to have that kind of intimacy? You want to have that kind of romance? You want to have that kind of a relationship in your marriage? Out of fear and reverence for God, just as you would for God, just as you would, verse 21, for Jesus Christ, empty yourself out for her. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And you're going, you know what, Pastor Dave, I'm ready, man. I am ready to take the leap. I am going to try this brand new thing in my marriage, because wherever you're at in your marriage, you're going, I need this in my marriage. Can I tell you, there is a prerequisite for this to work. And it is a relationship with a Heavenly Father. Because this passage was written to the church at Ephesus. This was written to the believer, understanding that there was a foundational thing that had already taken place when this was written, and it was that you had embraced what Jesus did at the cross. So maybe you're here today and you go, man, I'd like to have that kind of relationship, but I haven't done that first thing first. Maybe today is the day where you get that squared away first and you lay the right footers down. You pour the right foundation so that you have the right relationship with your Father first in order to engage in the right relationship maritally. Maybe you're here today and you go, man, I'm ready to start, but I'm fearful of how my spouse will respond. Because if I pour and I empty myself out on them, and in return I get the same old thing. Yeah, woman, whatever. Maybe you feel like as a guy you're going to pour yourself out, empty yourself out, and your fear is she won't respond. You know what? What do you have to lose in your relationship maritally to try it God's way? I don't know where you're at. If you're in need of help relationally, why not just follow God's plan? Plan one is to embrace what His Son did at the cross. Plan two is relationally. Set aside your dreams, your ambition, your gadgets, your toys on this person. What if we did that in our home? What would our children see if Dad said, you know what, I don't have an expectation of how you will respond, but I know as a man of God, I am pouring into you. And woman, you're going to have the greatest husband to ever walk the planet, because God told me here's how to do it, and I'm just going to follow God's design. Woo, this woman is going to be the recipient. As I minister now after 15 years to children and students, I'm telling you now, they're confused. They don't get it. Just as you and I think we're going out to buy an outfit, and we go, what happened to the outfit? We've been shopping 6 hours and all we got was a candle. Our kids are going, I don't get it. I see my daddy raise his hands in worship and come home and yell and scream at mama. I see mama go off and she engages in Bible study and comes home and she's cold and isolated from daddy. Hey, can I just tell you, guys and girls, Ephesians 5, 21, 22, 25 says, here's how you develop dynamite relationships. Just as you would with your Heavenly Father, revere and awe of Him, pour it out on them. That's a great relationship. With no expectation in return. Aren't you glad that our Heavenly Father said, I will pour out on you in the form of my Son, Jesus Christ. He will bleed and He will die
for you and I. Aren't you glad? Man, I am. Because at 17 years of age, a senior in high school, growing up in a pastor's home, I came to a point of a realization that I needed Him apart from everything else. And I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Relationships will never be the same until you get the first step right. The fundamental step is a relationship with Him. The secondary step is, will I lower my pride and my ego and empty myself out on them? That's how you have a great relationship. So where are you at today? Because for the next 3 weeks from today, we're talking about relationships. Next weekend is specifically through the book of Song of Solomon. What if we walked into this place on Friday and Saturday, walking in to navigate through the book of Song of Solomon, and we've already gotten some good things squared away? And we're walking in just enhancing the relationship on Friday and Saturday. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to be a wrestle because of what you've heard today. You're going home, you're going to leave this place, and the Holy Spirit of God's going to be working in your heart. How will you respond? Don't you want to have a great relationship with people? Specifically with your wife? Specifically with your husband? Man, I do. That's the desire of my wife. We talked about it this week. How are we going to get there? Let's follow God's design, God's plan. Allow Him, through us as a conduit, to pour out on them. And there's no expectation in return. How you respond is going to be between you and God, but I will pour out on you. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the privilege of communicating Your Word. May every man and woman that leaves this place today be challenged relationally. First of all, where do they stand with You? Where do they stand maybe with a spouse? Where do they stand with their children? Maybe where do they stand with their parents? Where do they stand with their co-workers? May they find themselves less about them and more about serving others. You're here today, and in the quietness of this moment, you've heard God's Word today. In the midst of hearing God's Word about relationships, the greatest relationship we could ever encourage you with is one with the Father of Heaven, with your Creator, who said, I will pour it all out for you. It won't just be me leaving my throne. I'm going to send my Son. Parents in this room, you understand what that means. You understand that when your child is sick at home, there's times you go, man, I wish it were me that were sick and not them. We don't like to see our children in pain. And God said, I will let my Son be emptied for you. Oh, praise God. You go, man, today, Pastor, I've never made that kind of a commitment. But today, I am willing to say, God, based on what You've done through Your Son Jesus at the cross, I will give it all to You. If that's you today, maybe you need to say something like this to God. Dear God, wow. Thank You for what You've done. Never thought about how You've poured Yourself out like that. What You must have gone through to give Your Son Jesus for me today. God, I thank You. Would You forgive me for never recognizing it? God, would You forgive me because it is those things in my life that I do that are wrong that have separated me from knowing You. Would You forgive me? Today, I embrace the truth of what Jesus did at the cross. And I gladly accept eternal life today. I desire a relationship with you, God. And the only way I'm going to get that is through your Son and what He has done. So I accept it. May I learn and may I grow in you. You're here and you go, man, Pastor Dave, I had to get fundamentally the first thing right. I'd like to have a great marriage relationship or great relationships with my children or my parents or with people, but fundamentally I had to get that right first. You know who you are. I can tell you that's the foundation for a great marriage. That's the foundation for great relationships. It's Jesus. Maybe you're here today, though, and you've already made the decision to step over into a relationship with the Father, but relationally, you're struggling. Might be with a spouse, might be with your children, maybe with your parents, with somebody. Man, it's a battle for you. And you're willing today to just evaluate from Ephesians 5. 1 Peter chapter 3, where you stand relationally. Maybe walk out and make some changes. Today, maybe you're going to say over the next 5 days, my game plan is I'm going to show the value to my spouse and this is how I will do it. And you write that down and fold it and put it in your pocket and carry it all week until it's done. And that's how you show appreciation and value. I'm going to start by communicating the love language that God's wired me with to my spouse. But today, as we start on this journey of relationships, fundamentally, are you willing to submit that, hey God, you've got a great plan. Maybe I just haven't been following. And I'm willing to follow your plan. Maybe you need to pray something like this. God in heaven, forgive me for how I've treated people relationally. God, how I've treated my spouse. Today, God, I want to be the right kind of husband, the right kind of wife, the right type of parent, the right type of young person. And I will submit who I am for the relationship with others, specifically those in marriage. Father, would you teach me, equip me, empower me relationally to do more than I've ever done for your kingdom. In Christ's name, amen. Hey, church, thanks for listening today. In just a few minutes, when we dismiss from this place, directly across, we're going to have some prayer counselors over there. Listen, if you need somebody to just pray with you, or maybe you made the greatest decision of your life, and that's to follow Jesus Christ today. Can I tell you, you need to be thinking about the steps you take from this point. We can help you with that. I'm not asking you to join the chapel. Not asking you to become a part of anything. We just want you to understand how to navigate in your new walk with Christ. So directly up this door and across the hallway, I'll be over there and some of our prayer partners will be over there. We have a gift if you're visiting today to give to you, all that good stuff. But you know what this time is? This is our time to celebrate how God has blessed us financially. So our ushers are coming forward and we have the privilege of giving back to Him.